Well, it is Monday, March 18th, and I don't know how it's been probably 3 weeks since the last podcast episode, so it's been a while. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the progress that I've made on Wazard and switching over to the new art style, which is obviously taking quite a while to do. I knew it was going to be a process to switch over. I think it's taking about as long as I expected it to, but I haven't had as much time to be able to work on it as I hoped I had, or as I hoped I would. So, and that just gets into balancing my actual job, which is making courses and selling those courses and supporting the students who buy those courses and making free YouTube content in order to bring people, introduce people to my courses and my content. And so that part of my job has taken up more time recently. But the time that I have gotten to work on Wazard has been super fun, and I've made good progress. So it's hard to remember what I talked about in the last one, but I have redone the character. So the character, I've animated the character, implemented the new character animations. I've connected up the dungeon rooms. I don't remember if I'd done that yet in the last podcast episode. So I had figured out how to make each dungeon room, but I hadn't connected them yet. I've converted all of the UI over. That was a pretty big job. When I say all of the UI, I mean all of the UI on the main screen, because the menus still have the old art style, and the pause menu still has the old art style in some places when you upgrade a spell. So mainly just all of the like icons and text. I found a font that I'm using that I'm pretty happy with. And I converted the minimap to the new system. Now, the minimap had issues from the beginning. The minimap could go off the screen previously, and you just couldn't see that part of the minimap, so it kind of made it useless there. So my solution to that has been to make the minimap smaller. Each room is smaller. And then I've got it set up to where the room that you're in is always in the center of the minimap. And then on the very edges, it will just kind of fade off or cut off the rest of the minimap. And so the minimap gives you like a, let's see, what view would it give you? How many rooms would it give you? It gives you the room you're in. It gives you the 8 rooms around you. And it would also give you the however many rooms are around that. And I can't think to do the math. Let's see if we're adding an extra row to each side. I don't want to do the math. There's got to be an easy way to think about that. But anyway, yeah, so it shows all the rooms around that too. So that's what the minimap will show. So it will show you a pretty big area, but there will be times where when you're like at the very edge of a dungeon, you won't be able to see the other side of the dungeon in that minimap in the UI. But I'm going to have the pause. The plan is to have the pause screen show the entire map. So if you pause the game, you'll be able to see. And the minimap will give you a good idea of your surroundings. Like, that's a lot of rooms to see, right? The 9 rooms and then whatever rooms are around that. So the minimap looks good. I'm really happy with how it turned out. It was a more technical, Like, it wasn't just updating the art itself. There was a really technical side to it, to get it to look good, drawing all the rooms, connecting the rooms, fading out the edges a little bit. Just all the, I did a bunch of little things kind of polished to make it look really good. I'm happy with how it turned out. And it's only 95% of the way there, because there's actually one other thing I'd like to do with the mini map, which is having certain room colors get replaced with other colors. It's not that hard to do. It's just that, I don't know, maybe I should just do it right today. It's like the last little teeny polish thing, but it's not that necessary. So the goal for this week is to get the first dungeon complete with the new art style, so that all of the enemies, the UI, everything in the very first dungeon area is complete, so that I can record a small video and show the progress that I've made on converting the art style. And then I can share it on Mastodon and maybe YouTube. And what I'm thinking is maybe converting the Steam page so that it just shows that first little dungeon as the quote trailer, because I actually think that that would convert better than an actual trailer, or the actual trailer with the old art style. And I'm going to experiment with that. So I'll just try updating the Steam page to show the new art style and the new dungeon stuff. But I kind of think that maybe it'll convert better, or at least maybe take a little clip. Maybe I'll just take a little clip and have that be the quote trailer. It won't actually be a trailer, but I don't know. I think I'd rather show the new art style in a short clip than have the old art style in a full trailer, because it's going to give the player a better idea of what the game is actually going to be. And if I could get that done, then next week I could focus on updating the Steam page with the new visuals and a new clip and a new capsule art and all of this stuff, and really try and see if this new art style is going to convert better in Wishlist. Because, you know, at this point I'm committed. I'm not going to be using the old art style. I really do like this new art style. But at the same time, I'd like to get a good gauge for how it's going to affect my wish list conversion rate as early as possible. And I'm feeling like this art style is something that from here on out I'm going to be kind of sticking with. I kind of developed it with Demon Lock, and with Demon Lock it was only four colors, right? Like Game Boy palette type stuff. But the art style is still very similar. Even though with Wazard I added more colors to it, it's still very similar to what I was doing with Demon Lock. And I really like the art style. I feel like it's kind of my style that I've slowly developed. And I think that if I stick with this art style for future projects, that it will speed up pre-production, because coming up with your game's visuals is part of pre-production. And so even though my game design-wise was out of pre-production, when I decided to redo the visuals, it essentially, I'm still in pre-production. I'm hoping that will speed up pre-production in the future, because this game, I mean, I've only been able to work on it part-time, but it's taking me a year and a half now, if I finish it this year, which is the goal, to finish it this year, it's going to take me about a year and a half of part-time work. And originally, I was planning on trying to do full-time work, which wasn't possible financially for me, unfortunately. I pretty much have to do full part-time work. So I have to be okay with that, okay with the fact that I am working on it part-time, and that means it might take longer than what I originally hoped. But I'm still looking to the future, looking to next year, and going, okay, when I release a new game next year, what are some systems that I can speed up that process? And this brings me back to workflows again. And I think that, you know, I saw a statistic the other day, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but basically most game developers never release more than one game on Steam. Most game developers, they release one game on Steam and then they never release another game. And I think that making games is kind of like a snowball. It has a snowball effect to it, which is, you know, as you get comfortable with your engine, as you get comfortable with your own art style, as you get comfortable with your own coding style, you get faster at making games. And your next games, you kind of create a workflow and a process that works for you. And your future games tend to be faster and more polished. And you can copy code, like even your settings menu or your input mapping, like a lot of that stuff, that's like really hard stuff to do. And you'll be able to copy it over from other games and not have to redo that every time you make a game. And so it's a shame that developers only release one game on Steam, because what happens, I think, is they release a game and then it's not successful because it's so hard to be successful on your first game, like, or at least highly successful. And so then they get discouraged. They don't make any more games. And I think that's a shame. I think that's one of the reasons that it's recommended you make a very small game for your first game, is because then you get to develop a lot of those workflows. And then the danger, I think, is that some developers, they release a small game, and then for their next game, instead of taking advantage of all the things that they developed with their first game, they're like, well, now I'm going to make a 3D game. Now I'm going to make an MMO, and that's not always a bad thing, but I do think that there's a danger to that, because you're not taking advantage. If your first game was highly successful, go for it. Or if you're just doing it for a hobby, go for it. If you want to make it into a business, a sustainable, make a living off of it, well, then maybe you should consider making something that can take advantage of all the things you learned on your first game. A sequel would be the extreme end of that. Like, oh, I made this game and then it just did okay, but I'm going to make a sequel and see if I can improve on all of the things that the first game did. That's like the extreme version. I'm not saying you need to make a sequel, but you get the idea. Making a sequel does take advantage of a lot of your existing code base and your art style and all of those things. And it could help you to create something more quickly and make it even more polished and not have such a huge gap between when you release games. I was looking at the gaps between my releases. So I released Endhall in, I think, 2018. So that's 6 years ago, which is crazy. I released Tic Tac Tanks in 2022. So that's 2 years ago. And then if I release Wazard this year, then it will be basically 2 years after Tic Tac Tanks. And so I'll have gone from a four-year gap between my first two games, between game one and game two, to a two-year gap between game two and year three. And then if I can release a game next year, then I've gone to a one-year gap between game three and game four, right? And you can see how it's a lot easier to create a sustainable business around making games if you're able to release games more frequently. And I think 1 to 2 years is a pretty reasonable amount of time for an indie developer, depending on the size of their project and whether or not they can go at it full time. Funnily, I think someone like Tom Francis, who By the way, I'm a big fan of Tom Francis. Always listen to his devlogs on YouTube. I think his GDC talks are great as well. Highly recommend his content, his games. But I think he's done the opposite, ironically. I think there's been a bigger gap between every game. Maybe not. Maybe I'd have to look. But yeah. He has done the thing where he's gone like every game he's made has been bigger and bigger. But also at the same time, his first game was highly successful. Gunpoint did very well. And then I think Heat Signature did very well as well. So he has I don't want to say luxury because that's not the word. It's really hard to make games that take longer like that. He has the means. His previous games did well enough that he has the means to make larger games like that and maybe take not get necessarily faster every year. So I don't have that. I don't have those means. My end haul was commercially not very successful. I think I don't know how much it's made over its total lifetime, but in the first few months it made about $7,000, and then it dropped off significantly in sales after that, and doesn't really generate much revenue. Tic Tac Tanks was a complete flop, although it's hard to gauge whether that was due to the game itself or due to me releasing it only on itch.io, which is, you know, maybe not the best platform to target for commercial releases. Although that's a whole other topic, because I have been thinking about how powerful itch.io might be for during pre-production. Like I generated a lot of impressions with Wazard a little while back. I think I talked about it in the podcast. So I think itch.io is a very powerful platform during pre-production. Just maybe not when you're launching your game. So yeah, anyway, those are kind of some bigger picture thoughts that have been on my mind. I really think that I'm developing this kind of art style. I'm still exploring a lot of different coding styles within Godot. I've found stuff that works, but never really found stuff I was super happy with. It didn't really fit me well. Like recently I did the component system on YouTube. It's a tutorial series about using components to make games in Godot. And it's very engine UI heavy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think Godot actually leans into that a little bit. Godot kind of encourages you to do that. But I've been deciding to explore the opposite end of that spectrum a little bit, which is moving completely away from the engine UI as much as possible and only using it for like stuff that's visual or animations, and then having everything else be in code so I'm not manipulating in the engine UI a bunch, or you know, the logic isn't in the engine's UI very much. And so that's kind of the direction I'm pushing in right now, and we'll see how that goes. But I'm developing this coding style as well, trying to figure out what type of style I enjoy the most for programming, what makes the most sense to me, what I'm the most comfortable developing in, and looking forward to using these things on my future games and where that's going to take me, and using them on Wazard right now. So the new visuals are coming along very well. I'm really excited about how they look. It's fun to see the mock-ups in motion. They're no longer just, I mean, it's only the dungeon, but it's no longer just a mock-up. It's now in motion. There's bats, there's snakes. Shoot the spell. I updated the particles as well, because they didn't quite look very good. So I toned down the particles and then created a new hit effect that is used. I think it looks really good. I redid the enemy spawner graphic. Instead of just being a red circle with an exclamation mark, it has kind of like a enemy skull on it. It's very, I would say, Enter the Gungeon-esque. And that looks good. I need to update the explosion effect for the enemies and the kind of like spawn effect for the enemies. Kind of figure out which ones I like. What I have, the old effects actually look okay with the new art style. But I do want to update it so it's exactly the new art style. I also recently purchased Tiny Rogue. Or is it Tiny Rogues? I think it's Tiny Rogue. And I've been playing that as a way to try and understand that game, some of the things that it does really well. I feel like it's market adjacent to my game, very similar vibe, and especially art style wise. So that's another inspiration, right? When I originally started, I was taking inspiration from like Vampire Survivors and Binding of Isaac. Those are kind of my direct inspirations. But now I've started taking some inspiration from other places, and I think the more places you get inspiration from, the less your game is going to feel like a clone, right? And the more it's going to feel like its own thing as you start to pull from a variety of different places and go, okay, well, this actually suits my game better than it, the original inspiration. You know, this art style actually looks better, this style of room level generation actually is better for my game or whatever. So take from a lot of places, but that's been fun to play it. Highly recommend checking it out. I think it's on sale right now. And I've only played one run, but it was super fun. And it feels like there's a lot of depth to the game and easy to get into with a lot of interesting synergies and mechanics to play with. So, you know, I want something similar for Wazard. I'll try and take some inspiration there. Anyway, thanks for listening to this podcast. I apologize that it's been so long since the last one. That was not intentional. I just got busy and didn't have the time, or I kind of just forgot, honestly. I was just going along working, and just all of a sudden somebody in the Discord was like, I hope you're not stopping the podcast. And I was like, I haven't done one in almost two and a half weeks or 3 weeks. So no, I'm not stopping the podcast. I just forgot, and I apologize. I'll try to do a little better about keeping you all in the loop. I think it's better to do shorter episodes more frequently than really kind of longer ones like this, where I'm trying to remember all the things I've done in the last 3 weeks and catch you up on it. So that's going to be it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and I will see you all in the next one.